This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3756, for Monday, the 26th of December, 2022. Today's show is entitled, Verify Yourself on Mastodon with PGP and Kioxide. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 32 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, verify your Mastodon account using newpgandkioxide.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Klaatu, and wow, is Mastodon popular all of a sudden? I want to talk about getting verified. There are air quotes around verified on Mastodon. This is a kind of a big topic because as people look at Mastodon as a potential platform for their microblogging needs, they apparently want to make sure that they're the only one of them on that platform, which, if you think about it, is kind of funny. As often as there are emails, email addresses, I mean, as easy as it is to get an email address under anybody's name, it seems to me like people would not be that scared of a thing that didn't have complete certainty that you were the only one of you on the platform. There's potential for tricking people into thinking that you are that I am someone else online aplenty. It's not something that's unique to Mastodon, and quite obviously it wasn't unheard of on what people are going to Mastodon to get away from, which is of course Twitter. But I guess Twitter had a system by which someone somewhere would award you a blue circle with a white check mark in it as long as you could convince them that you were who you said you were. If you got the blue circle with a white check mark, then everyone on the internet had to agree under legal obligation that you were, that account was really you. And of course, that obviously doesn't truly check out, right? That's not a system of verification. That is a system of claiming an identification. There's no guarantee ever that the person on the other side of the computer that you are reading the tweets from was the physical DNA specimen that you believe that it was. But people seemed to have a lot of confidence in that blue circle with a white check mark in it, and so they want to see something similar on Mastodon. Mastodon does not have a blue circle with a white check mark, or rather it does if you want to add it to your profile name. You can find an emoji of that symbol and type it into your profile name, and then you suddenly have a blue circle with a white check mark in it. But Mastodon does, in your profile, award green check marks. Well, I say Mastodon. Mastodon doesn't really do anything. It's just a platform. You are able to give yourself a green check mark. How do you do that? Well, the easy way is to go into your profile, go to edit your profile, scroll down through the different preferences until you find something called verification. Under verification, there is a link. It's just a normal Ahref, so it's an HTML tag that takes you that points actually back to Mastodon. It's a link to your profile. The significant thing about it, though, is that it has a special attribute called rel, R-E-L, equals, quote, me, close quote. So left angle bracket A space href equals, quote, in my case, https://mastodon.xyz/@Klaatu, close quote, space rel equals, quote, me, close quote, right angle bracket, follow me on social media, left angle bracket slash A, right angle bracket. So it's just a normal old HTML link, hyperlink, except it has this special attribute that claims that rel equals me, and of course the href attribute is pointing to your Mastodon profile that you want the green check mark to be awarded to. What do you do with this link? Well, you go and put it on a website that people on the internet agree that you control, or that you actually do control. I mean, I guess it doesn't actually matter that people on the internet acknowledge that, but you can, if you have the ability to put that link on a website, then you put the link on that website. You tie these two together, the Mastodon profile and the random website that you control enough to put that website link onto. You tie them together by pasting the URL where that link appears into your Mastodon profile. And then the Mastodon interface sees that there's a web address in your profile. It checks the location, the destination of that web address. If it finds ahref blah rel equals me at that location, then it puts a green check mark by that web address. So all you're doing is confirming that the same entity controlling your Mastodon account is the same entity controlling a website. And really, honestly, I mean, that's practically as good as online verification gets. You can confirm through this that the same person did two different things at two different places, more or less. And you can't confirm that that person is the same person that you shook hands with at that one technical conference. They might have someone doing their bidding. You don't know. But you do know that they have at least, that they have knowledge, this person has knowledge of both, knowledge and control over both of these web locations. That's pretty good verification for internet stuff. About as good as you can get. And I do say about. I was having a conversation with someone on Mastodon about these concepts. And I found out through this conversation that there's a new project. I say new. New to me, a project called Key Oxide, that's KeyOxide.org, Key Oxide. And Key Oxide is a way, is a project that wants to sort of tether your PGP key, or GNU-PG, whatever, your pretty good privacy cryptographic key. It wants to tether that key between, or rather to, your Mastodon profile. This way, you can now confirm to your own encrypted key, the public key, to which you hold the secret key. So Key Oxide just makes it easy, I say easy, it is attempting to make it easy for you to make changes to your encrypted keychain that can then be verified by other online applications. The documentation is a little bit rough. There's no sense of a sort of a workflow. So I'm going to attempt to distill all of that here now into easy to follow steps so that if you want to verify your Mastodon account or some other account by your encrypted key, then you're able to do that. The advantage to this, by the way, before we get started, is of course the web of trust that PGP encourages you to build. Now, if you're like me and you haven't built a web of trust, really it's kind of useless. All you're doing, I haven't built a web of trust. I've built a small web of trust, although I haven't had that web of trust sign my key. It's been a purely functional web of trust. Certain people do email me with PGP encrypted emails using my key. In my public key, and I email them back using their public key. So there is trust there. It's simply that I can't prove to you, dear listener, that there's trust because I haven't had anyone sign my key. But that's my shortcoming. And anyway, the point is, if you want to build a ring of trust, a web of trust in your key ring, then you can do that. And then people can look at your GPG key, look at your Mastodon account, and other things that you've linked back to your GPG, your Key Oxide profile page, and kind of confirm that, again, the entity controlling this encrypted key, who other people believe to be authentic because they've met them and signed their key to attest that, yes, this human does have access to this key, that bolsters trust in that key. And so now it does start to seem like, yeah, that probably is the same human doing things online because they keep pointing back to this key, which other humans have confirmed was physically present, as it were, along with the actual human whose hand they shook when they were signing the key. Okay, so how do you work with Key Oxide? Key Oxide, The documentation is there. If you can make heads or tails of it, congratulations. Here's what I've got for you, though. I'm going to take you through the whole process, assuming that, without assuming that you have even a key created. Now, if you do have a key created, you should pretend like you don't have a key created. I'm not saying create a new key. I'm just saying listen to every step. because there were some surprises along the way that, I mean, just really, really shocked me, because I thought I had GPG as figured out as anybody else could. I mean, it's a pretty big system. It's a lot to take in. But, I mean, I use it a lot. I feel relatively comfortable with the commands. I felt like I knew where to look when I needed to reference a command component that I didn't know, and yet there were still surprises. So please, if you want to go down this path, just pretend like you're completely new to all of this. It will you will thank yourself later. Okay, so the first thing that you do is you want to generate a key. And like I say, if you already have a key generated, then you don't have to do that. But I'll just pretend like you don't, just so we hear all the steps. Okay, so the first thing you do is, let's use GPG2. I find that easier to use myself. So I'm going to do GPG2 dash dash full dash generate dash key. These are all the prompts. And your first question is going to be RSA and RSA, which is the default, or you can do DSA and Elgamal, or DSA sign only, or RSA sign only. I'm just going to go one, which is the default. And then it asks me what kind of key do I want? It could be from 1024 to 4096 long. It says, what key size do you want? And the default is 3072. I'm just going to go for broke, 4096. Should this key expire? I'm going to say no. I'll revoke it if I need it to expire. Is this correct? Yes. Okay, now it needs information about me. So I'm going to put down that my real name is Klaatu. My email is klaatu@example.com. A comment. I don't need a comment. Is everything okay? Yes, everything's okay. Now I need a passphrase for this thing. Bogus123. Bogus123. And now it's asking me to generate some entropy by moving my mouse around and moving windows around. If you're in a modern system, it doesn't take long. It used to take quite a while. There we go. Looks good. Spits out sort of a report for me, and that is that I have now a key, and there's this big long string of numbers, 22420E4438, and so on. That's an identifier for your key. You're going to need that, so don't close your terminal yet. You're gonna use that next. But before we do that, I'm going to pause. And I'm going to say, what if you already had a key? If you've already got a key, then all you need to do really is find out the big long number, that fingerprint, if you don't have that already. It's easy to get. You just do a GPG2 dash dash list dash secret dash keys. And it gives you a report on all the secret keys that you hold. Find the one if you have more than one secret key. And you may. You might have a secret key for K-Wallet, a secret key for your personal emails, a personal key for your work email. Who knows? So find the one that you actually want to use. Here's klaatu@example.com. I'll select that. It shows you the big long number. So this is good. That's an identifier that you can use pretty consistently throughout this process. So now you need to... We're going to edit this key that we just created. So GPG2 dash dash edit dash key. And then you're going to paste in the big long number, the fingerprint. I'll call that the fingerprint from now on. All right. So that kind of dumps us into a GPG prompt. And right above the prompt are some details about this key. It's telling us things like, what is it telling us? I don't know. Secret key. It's a SEC, not a PUB, public secret. So this is an SEC key that we're looking at. RSA 4096. Great. Created today. Expires never, and so on. So it gives us some information. What we need to do is add something called a notation. Now, I didn't know notation existed. I didn't know that was a thing until this process. So that's one of those things that I learned from doing this. So that was kind of cool. But the way that we do that is we just type in, well, actually, you know what? Right now, you probably only have one user. If you've just created this key, you probably only have one user ID associated with this account. And you see the name of that user ID. It says ultimate1.klaatu@example.com. So that's that's indicating to you that there's one email address associated with this secret key. That's pretty typical. Me, I have lots of email addresses associated with my keys because I've either changed emails or I have different emails for different audiences or whatever. Or I have different versions of the same email. My work email has both my first name and my first and my last name. I have both available at my work. So, you know, you might have more than one UID. You need to appoint one as the primary user. So if you need to do that, you type in UID. Oh, okay. Well, I can't do it because I only have one. So you type in UID, you hit return, and then no, you know what? Maybe I can do. Yes. Okay. UID space one. That's what you type. Sorry. UID space one or whatever, you know, 1, 2, 3. Let's say you have three, Klaatu at example, Klaatu Einzelganger at example, and, Klaatu at hackerpublicradio.org. Whichever one of those that I want to have as the primary user of this key, and I do need to designate one, I would do UID space and then the number of that user ID. You then get a little asterisk by that number. That's the selected UID. Now, at the prompt, you just type the word primary. It's asking me for confirmation, so I type in my password, and I've just designated myself as the primary user of this key. That is significant. You should do it. Okay, next, I'm going to add notation. This is the part that Key Oxide specifically requires for Key Oxide to function correctly. This is the thing that Key Oxide looks at, actually. So notation, enter the notation, it says. All right, so this is special code that Key Oxide recognizes. It is the word proof, P-R-O-O-F, as in prove it, proof. Proof at Ariadne, A-R-I-A-D-N-A, that's Alpha Romeo Indigo, Alpha Delta November Echo dot ID, that's Indigo Delta, equals the path to your Mastodon profile. So it could be https://mastodon.xyz/@Klaatu. That's me on Mastodon, by the way. Follow me if you'd like to. That takes you to a profile page. You need to know your Mastodon handle, which is, you know, the @ and then some word. That's kind of your account. And you need to know the server on which your Mastodon account is hosted. That's the Mastodon instance. And there are lots out there. There's mastodon.social. There's mastodon.xyz. There's Mastodon, techhub.org or com or something. Lots of, or social. I don't know. Lots are out there. You'll know what it is because that's the site you go to log into Mastodon. So you're just pointing this proof at Ariadne.id to your Mastodon user page, the one that you want to authenticate or rather verify using this key. All right, so I've just hit return again. So that's been taken. You don't get to see your notation. To see the notation, if you don't believe that it's there, it hasn't been saved yet, by the way. So to see it, you can do show pref, all one string, show pref, S-H-O-W-P-R-E-F, hit return, and then you get to see extra data about your key, including notations. So you will see the notation there. I'm going to type save, and that also, that saves what I've just done, and it boots me out of GPG. Now I'm back to my normal terminal prompt. Now stop. If you're familiar with GPG and you're like me, you probably think you know what to do next. You think you're going to type in a command to update your key to a key server somewhere. Don't do that, honestly. You have to do it a different way. If you are glutton for punishment, please, by all means, do it some other way and let me know what happens, because I had a bunch of failed attempts at this, it didn't work until I did exactly these steps that I'm about to give you. But I had so many failed attempts that I can't figure out if the failures were because I was not doing what I'm saying you should do, or whether I was just doing what I was doing incorrectly. But I honestly think that this is exactly what you have to do. You have to go to keys.openpgp.org. Now, I mean, everything in me says that there shouldn't be anything special about that, about that particular server. And as far as I know, there isn't. But you do need to, I think, first of all, don't listen to me. There's something special about that server. You have to do it at openpgp.org or none of this will work. Okay, that's what I want to say, or that's what I need to say, because that was my result. That's the provable result. I've done this once, and then I got tired of the equation and just decided that I was going to use that as the canonical correct way to do this. You should be able to go to pgp.net.nz:11371 or any of your favorite key servers and do this same process. I'm just telling you that what worked for me was going to openpgp.org. So if you try a different server and it works, let me know and just confirm that I was just doing something wrong all along. But the thing about keys.openpgpg.org is that you can upload a key. And I know you're thinking, no, Klaatu, I don't need to do this. I've already done this. I've sent it to the servers in a terminal. It's fine. I'll just do it my way. I'm telling you, don't do that. Go to keys.openpgp.org, click upload. Even if you've already uploaded your key, click upload, and then it's going to tell you to upload your key. Well, in order to do that, you need a nice little tidy key file to upload. So back in your terminal, you're going to do gpg --armor --export, and then the email of the user ID that you want to export. So that's or of the key that you want to export. So that's klaatu@example.com, for instance, in this scenario. Redirect to pubkey.asc. That's the correct way to export all the metadata out of your key chain or your key box into a little self-contained file. Okay, now you've got that. So you can click upload on keys.openpgp.org, select that .asc file, and upload it. If it already has a key that matches that key, don't worry, it will just update your existing key or whatever it does. I don't know, I've never run a key server, but overwrites it or patches it or whatever it does. It's not like you're gonna have duplicates on there or anything. You'll just the most recent version will be there. Once your file is uploaded, and it doesn't take but a moment, it's a very small file. Once it's uploaded, keys.openpgp.org gives you the option to get a confirmation email. This is the thing that was new to me. I've never seen this before in my life. Didn't know it was a thing. Didn't know it was possible. I don't know if it's something specific to openpgp.org. I don't know. But you can click on the confirmation email thing. It will send an email to the email address that you've got in that key. And then you can respond to that email. And then there's confirmation that, yes, that key exists, and yes, it actually does have the authority to lay claim to that email address. So do that. That's the missing component. For me, that was the missing component for about a day. I kept uploading my key just manually in a terminal with the GPG2 option to upload the key or send dash key. And that just wasn't doing it. It wasn't sending you the notation. It wasn't sending, I think, the primary user. There was a bunch of stuff that it just wasn't sending. So don't do that. You got to do it through keys.openpgp.org, or else this whole thing will be for naught. All right. So once you've got that, go grab a cup of coffee. And if you've heard my podcast, GNUWorldOrder.info, you'll know that I always tell people to go get a cup of coffee about halfway through the show. But in this case, I actually mean go get a cup of coffee, because you're going to have to wait for the email, the confirmation email to come through. Then you're going to have to wait for the key servers to synchronize around the globe. So this could take a wee while. It won't take all day, I don't think, but it'll take a cup of coffee. So go get a cup of coffee and then come back and complete the mission. What's the mission again? Oh yes, we're trying to tie this key oxide thing to our Mastodon profile. What have we done so far? Well, we've generated a key. You may or may not have already had a key, so maybe you skipped that step. It's fine. We've added notation to our existing key, and we've set a primary user for our existing key. We have uploaded the key to keys.openpgp.org. We have clicked a button to get a confirmation email. We have responded to the confirmation email by clicking the link, you know, in the email, the little confirmation link. That's where we are right now. This is an exciting moment because this is where it all comes together. Remember the key fingerprint that I had you remember earlier? Well, don't worry if you don't. That's fine. It's probably in your history, first of all. But you can also just do, at any time, you can do a GPG2 space dash dash show, no, list dash secret dash keys, and that'll list your secret keys. Look through there, find the one associated with the email address in question, and notice that there is a big long number just under the just above the user ID section. That's your fingerprint. So copy that, and now go to keyoxide.org/hkp/, and then you paste in the fingerprint. You see a little profile page for yourself. Now notice you haven't opened an account with KeyOxide. You haven't registered for KeyOxide. All it's doing is verifying. It's looking at your key, and it's verifying, or it's parsing that information. That's all it's doing. So you're telling KeyOxide to go look up that key by that fingerprint. It is reading the key that it finds, and it's parsing it. It's finding out the user ID, the primary user of that key. It's finding out the email address. It's finding the fingerprint. And then, I guess most importantly in this scenario, it is also finding the link, the proof at ariadna.id data that you've put into the notation field. And as I look at mine, it does appear here. In fact, it's a little bit weird looking right now. It just says dash 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 klaatu@mastodon.xyz. What's the dash dash dash? It looks like some weird signature file or something. No, this is essentially an unused proof. This is notation that you've put into your key, but you haven't utilized anywhere yet. How to utilize this? Well, go up to the URL bar of your browser. Just copy. It's keyoxide.org/hkp/, and then the fingerprint. Go to your Mastodon profile where you got your little verification link in the other exercise. So I'm just going to go to Mastodon, click edit profile, and then scroll down to a section called profile metadata. There's four different fields: label, 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 content, 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 content. And so I'll just type in, I don't know, GPG. And then in the content, I just paste the KeyOxide link. keyoxide.org/hkp/big long fingerprint. Looks good. And then I'm going to click the saved changes, go back to Mastodon, click on my name, and sure enough, my profile now has a GPG property with a little green tick mark by my keyoxide.org/hkp blah, blah, blah. And that's a clickable link too. So if someone was to click on that because they don't know what KeyOxide is yet, they can click on it and there's my profile. Like there's the data from my key. And certainly if they're savvy enough to know what that means, to care about that, then they can take that fingerprint. They can look that up on the key server within GPG and add that my public key to their key chain. They can look at who else assigned my key, nobody, and make a judgment call. They can decide whether this means that I am more or less trustworthy than had I just taken a verification link from Mastodon profile and put it on a website that I control. Is one worth more than the other? Well, like I say, in my case, in its current state, I don't really feel like this is worth anything beyond what just having a link on a website would offer, because I don't have a ring of trust that I've built. I need to go to a key signing party. I need to meet people. I need to tell them my actual identity. I need to present them with a key bearing that name and then have them sign it and so on. That's what I need to do, and I haven't done that, so I don't have a web of trust built up around my cryptographic key. It's not worth a whole lot. Anyone could make a cryptographic key, put my email into it, and then they would have a profile on KeyOxide that claims to be me. Now, would I personally ever link to that key? No, I wouldn't. And so there would be the break in trust there, the fact that I never referenced that KeyOxide instance or that GPG key. And the same goes, frankly, for a website, right? I mean, anyone can get a website, put my information into it, and say that it's my website. But then if my Mastodon account never links back to that website and vice versa, then there's no reason to believe that my Mastodon instance or my Mastodon account recognizes that website. So this is, in both cases, at their most basic, it's just mutual confirmation that, yes, I acknowledge the existence of this, and I can prove to a high level that I have control over both of these things. But if you go the KeyOxide/PGP route, then you can go out and use the system built into PGP to get other humans to vouch for you cryptographically. I hope this has been useful. I think that this is a really kind of important topic. Verification on the internet is a really tricky subject. I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people don't really think about it that often. The fact that Twitter was able to be the deciding factor in who was real or suspect for years. I mean, we lived with Twitter for years. I guess we're still technically living with it. And they were the sole arbiter of whether you got a check mark by your name. And who was it? Who was Twitter? What was the process? There's no transparency there. There's no real trust built in around Twitter. So at least with GPG, PGP, you do have trust that you can build in. So this is an important topic. I think it's a big one. So definitely if you're using GPG, or if you're interested in starting to use GPG or Pretty Good Privacy, then by all means, and you're using Mastodon, by all means, have a look at KeyOxide. The process is not well explained on the website. I have hopefully explained it to you a little bit better now. Use it, verify. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.